This morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series on the book of Ephesians, and I just want to sort of preface it by saying this. Today's message, we're going to deal and talk about some spiritual ideas, and it's not to scare anyone or to instill fear in you, but to make you aware of what is around us in the spiritual, because Paul begins to really talk about some big ideas about our enemy. So today we're going to talk about the enemy and authority. And I believe that if you can capture this idea in your heart that we talk about today, if you can get this talk, this message into your heart and begin to understand, I believe the life that you live, you can live it to the greater fullness in Christ. Because in order to fight the battle, you've got to know who your enemy is, right? Okay. So for those of you who are not aware of how things work at Life Church, I'll say something exciting that I think is exciting, okay? And I'll say a right, or I'll say amen, and your response is amen. Amen. Yes, good. If you don't do that, I can preach for 2 solid hours. Amen. Oh, okay. All right. All right, great. Somebody take that clock off the wall. We're going to go at it today. Awesome. So if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, please open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, Ephesians chapter 6. Pastor, you skipped Ephesians chapter 5. I did on purpose. We're going to address a lot of things in Ephesians chapter 5 that talks about our parents, parenting, and husbands and wives. And I'm going to save that one for Father's Day. Okay, is that all right, guys? I'm going to save that one for Father's Day. That'll be a great message for Father's Day. So as you begin to turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I want to just let you know that yesterday here at the church in the evening, we had a beautiful renewing of vows service. Manny and Lily renewed their vows here at the church yesterday. It was a very beautiful, sweet service yesterday. I think we were all in tears before one word was ever spoke. Both Lily and Manny were both in tears. I was in tears. You know, I cry like that, by the way. It was a beautiful service. If you get a chance, guys, come talk to Manny. Let him share his story with you. He's got a wonderful testimony of what God's done in his life. And today's message, as I was standing here yesterday, and they were beginning to renew their vows with each other, I begin to be reminded exactly who we're facing in this world. Because the enemy comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. And let me tell you something, married couples, we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks. If he can destroy your marriage, he will do it. And he'll do whatever he can to divide and conquer the covenant that God has set before between a man and a woman in marriage. And he wants to do that, and he has done that, and he wants to continue to do that. But we're going to fight against the enemy. And it just brought something to my heart as we stood there yesterday as they renewed their vows, and Manny has come to a place where he said, Jesus, he said, you're the ruler of my life. I submit to your authority in my life. Now God's going to use this man in a mighty way. God has a calling upon Manny's life. I believe that this man is going to follow after his father's footsteps. He's going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ where he lives. He's going to watch people get saved. He's going to watch people get healed and get set free and delivered. That's the call that God has on your life. And as we stood here yesterday in tears, God began to show me that last night. I began to just begin to pray and read the word and begin to study the message more. And it became more aware to me that we all have a calling. Every one of us have a calling of God. Don't say that I don't, because you do. Some of you just haven't found it yet. But when you do, and you grab a hold of that calling, hang on. God's going to use you in a mighty way. Because our world and the enemy in our world wants to take every single person he can to hell. But Jesus Christ has come to make a way for us to live in heaven and with eternity with him. And there's a choice that has to be made. And we need voices rising up and speaking to be salt and light in the world, to be a voice crying out and sharing the good news and gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to be aware of something. When we do that, when we make that choice, the enemy's going to try to stop it. Today we're going to talk about who he is, because Paul is very descriptive about who this enemy is. So here's the idea that Paul, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he begins to talk about the enemy, and he talks about authority. He really talks about, he mentions the word devil. So let's just talk about the devil for a second. Can we do that? Is that all right? Can we talk about the devil in church? You give me liberty to do that? All right. I think there's a couple of ideas about Satan. I think there's some unhealthy ideas, and I think Paul has a very healthy idea of who Satan is. I know that many I have talked to, there are many Christians who do not even believe that Satan exists. There are those who believe that the church, because they're proclaiming the goodness of God, is in some way had to have a villain. And they've made up this idea of Satan to be the villain that opposes God. There are some views of Satan that are sort of cartoonish, right? You've seen the cartoons, you know, how the little devil, he's got the little red suit on there, and he's got the pointy ears and the pitchfork and little pointy tail, and he's there sitting on your shoulder, right, telling you all the bad things. It's kind of this cartoonish idea of the enemy. You ever seen that before? Come on, talk back. All right, we're a family here. This is the living room. We're a family. But there's another unhealthy idea of Satan where people are fixated upon the demonic. I'll give you an idea. All of a sudden, you could wake up, you go to do your laundry, put your laundry in the washing machine. All of a sudden, the washing machine starts doing this. You ever heard that before? How many of you heard that, right? And all of a sudden, here you go. Oh, the devil's done got into my washing machine. Oh, demons have got a hold of the washing machine. I got to do something about it. You end up laying hands on the washing machine, right? No, that's not the truth. The thing's 15 years old. Go buy a new one. There is no devil in your washing machine. But the idea is that sometimes as Christians, we like to blame everything on the devil, right? It's the devil's fault. The devil made me, whoof, right? Oh, that's got to be the spirit of blank, fill in the blank, right? So it's these two ideas, right? Either the enemy does not exist, or he's some cartoon character that we sort of play with this idea, or we blame everything on him. Look, we all have a choice. You make a bad choice, don't blame it on the devil. He's sitting back there going, it was you. So I begin to think about, what is my value? What is the idea? What is the biblical view of our enemy? Because we do have an enemy in this world. Here's that view. Satan is real. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus and his followers are what? More than conquerors. Say that again. We are what? We are more than conquerors. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 this morning. As we begin to unfold and unpack these words that Paul begins to write. He says, finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now next week we're going to talk about what that armor is. We're going to break it down piece by piece and see what Paul is telling us. See what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Father, this morning I pray, God, that you would bless this part of our service. Continue to let your spirit reign here in this place. I pray, Lord, as we study your word today, that it just not be ink on paper, Father, but let it come alive in our hearts. Let it penetrate our hearts. Let the words that the Holy Spirit has given us through the word of God penetrate our hearts. Begin to change our lives so that we can continue, Lord, to do the work you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul has some really big things to say here. I know many of you have probably found yourself in maybe a tough situation. Maybe you found yourself fighting a battle. Maybe there's a prodigal in your life, an issue at work or a job, and you begin to read God's word. Many of us are drawn here. We like these words, that there's strength in the might of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we go here to find comfort. But I believe what Paul is saying to us this morning is that there is a real enemy in the spiritual that we fight. And if we don't know who this enemy is, and if we don't know how to fight, he will conquer our life. So what we're going to do this morning is break these verses down, verse by verse, verse 10, verse 11. There's two parts of verse 12, and let's just see what God's word says to us today. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, Paul was saying to the people who read this letter for the first time is this. Whenever you're going through, this is not about your self-discipline. Whatever you're going through, this is not about your self-effort. Those are good. Discipline is good. Effort is good. What this is about, Paul is saying, is staying continually strong in the Lord. In other words, the people who survive these days, and listen, we are in a day where there's a rough days in our world today, is it not? Listen, there are laws being trying to be passed that go directly against the truth of God's Word. Goes directly against the values and the foundations that we stand upon. And instead of us complaining, we need to pray. And we've got to learn to stand strong, even against our government who tries to pass laws. The way we stand strong is to get on our knees and pray. Let me just plug this, Linda. How about this, right? Every first Saturday of every month, we're here praying in this church. We're here praying for each other. We're praying for our leadership. We're praying for the church. We're praying for our government. We're praying for our president. We're praying for this election. We're praying that God's will be done. We're praying for a conquering of the enemy in our world. So what Paul is saying here is not by your own self-discipline, your own self-evident, but you've got to stay strong in the world. And the people who survive these days, the people who thrive in these days, who will not be overwhelmed by the evil of the people who at every opportunity, every moment, every opportunity are looking for ways to grow stronger. Our athletes, they want to get stronger in their game. What do? Go to the gym and they work out. Jeff May's a strong guy. He likes to work out. I used to work out with Jeff. I don't work out anymore. Sorry, Jeff. I had to plug it. Hold me accountable. We have to stay strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, to the Jewish readers, because there were many Jews in this area, in these churches where Paul is writing. When the Jewish readers heard these words, His mighty power, the power of His might, they were reminded. Because throughout the Jewish history, throughout their history, they're reminded in Acts chapter 13, right, we see where it is written that they were delivered from Egypt by what? His mighty power. So as Paul is writing this letter, they're remembering, because as we know, throughout the nation of Israel, they found themselves many times where? In slavery. And by the mighty power of God, they were delivered. Many of us here today, through things in our life, find ourselves in a place of slavery to the world, to addictions. And we need the power and the might of Jesus Christ to get us through. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Paul says this, listen, God has given you power on the inside of you. The same mighty power that He used to rescue out of Egypt, the same mighty power is inside of you now. So stand strong in the Lord. So what he's saying is, he wants to remind you of who you are and who you are becoming. And so as you read this, let it remind you of who you are. Know who you are and who you are becoming. That's why it was so important for us to grasp the big ideas in Ephesians 1 through 3. Because in those chapters, Paul begins to list out who we are in Christ. Those big ideas about God, about strength and who we are. So now that we get over here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, now we can begin to apply the things he wrote in the first three chapters to our life as we see who we fight, who we're against. If you always keep your thoughts on who I am and who I'm becoming, right, the enemy won't be able to trip you up. Let's go back and sort of look at Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read this again because it's what it says. I pray also having the eyes of your heart. Paul is using this inside out language. Enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards those who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the courses of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's who you were. Paul says, that's who you were. But remember where you came from. Remember who you are and where you are going and who you are becoming. And that's why it's important for us to grasp these big ideas. In verse 11, it says this. It says, take your stand against the schemes of the devil. I like this. Take your stand against the schemes of the devil. Let me tell you what the church looks like to the enemy sometimes. When we take our stand, we stand like this. Let's take my jacket off so you can see my physique. All right, I want you to get the idea here. All right. We stand like this, hands to our side. We lock our knees. We kind of step over like this. And this is the way the church stands. And when you're standing like this, guess what? You're easily knocked over. Let me tell you what Paul says to stand. Let me tell you how to stand. Right? Any of you who know sports or anything, you one foot in front of the other a little bit. Get your balance. Bend your knees a little bit. All right? You got me? You see what's happening? You get your hands up like this and you're ready. This is the stance the enemy needs to see. Come here, Martin. When you're standing like this, over here. Right? Martin, I love you. What's going to happen right now? It's going to be okay. All right? So stand there, Martin, like this. So when you're standing like this as a church, as a believer, this is what the enemy sees. Right? But when you stand like this, let me show you what the enemy sees. Come here, Zamir. Come here. Stand right there, Zamir. All right, so who do you want to see? Do you want to walk? You want to be like this? Huh? Or as a church, do you want to be like this? Which one? This is what we need to do. This is what the enemy needs to see. This right here. Thanks, Martin. Thank you for not hurting me. I know that's funny, but it proves a point. Because Paul is saying, you've got to stand. And you've got to stand strong. So when the enemy sees, he sees that. He sees the strength of Jesus Christ. He sees the strength of the Holy Spirit in you, not some weak vessel who can be pushed over and knocked over. Because that's what the enemy is looking for. And if he sees that, if he finds that, he will conquer you. But if he comes and sees you standing strong and you're ready to fight, he sees that by the Holy Spirit, he's going to move on. He might try to come and rough you up a little bit, but it'll be just like Zamir. He's going to bounce right off. Then he says this. He says, against the schemes, the devil's schemes. What are the schemes? Schemes are the things that don't really appear bad. Have you ever been fooled? Have you ever been tricked by something? Have you ever been deceived? Think about it for a second. Have you ever been told that something wasn't true? And you were absolutely convinced that it was true, and it did turn out to be completely false? And this is what Paul is talking about. There are things that the enemy has planned against you. There are things that he has planned against your marriage, against your family, against your life, that they may not seem bad up front. They may seem innocent. But we know what the Word of God says, that the devil, Satan, is like what? He's like an angel of light, appearing beautiful. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit, church, will guide us in all truth. It should almost be impossible for us to be tricked by the schemes of Satan. Did you hear that statement? Let me say it again. It should almost be impossible for us to be tricked by Satan. Because if we have the Holy Spirit in us guiding us, we'll be able to see the schemes of the enemy. And we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. But if we don't see it, if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in us, if the Holy Spirit's not there to teach us and tell us, we're going to get tricked, we're going to get duped. And I feel sorry for all the churches in our nation around the world who have been deceived by those, by the enemy. Even those who stand in the pulpit and are deceived. Paul addresses that a little bit later. In these verses, he addresses this issue. Right? So I think some of us kind of think, right? Big God, big devil. Let me tell you the reality. We have a big God. Let me say it again. We've got a big God and a small devil. So stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul is literally saying this. He says, you have become too fixated on the person who is doing evil instead of the source of their influence. Let me jump on this real quick. I'm going to be real quick with this, okay? We are in a political year. And there's a lot of, I hear a lot of complaining going on out there. Right? I hear complaining about our current president. I hear complaining about Donald Trump. I hear your voices. I hear complaining about Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and everybody else involved in all that. If you are not praying for your leaders, you have no right to complain. Did you hear me? So in other words, what happens is we are so fixated on the person that the person is going to make the change. The person is not going to make the change. The person is going to make their own decisions, that the church will rise up, understand the schemes of the enemy, and stop complaining about the person and start complaining and praying against the influence that is upon the person. It'll change. You want a policy to change? Get up, do your right, vote, vote the morals, vote the word of God, and begin to pray for your leaders and watch what happens to our nation. We are too fixated on the person who is doing the evil instead of the influence. That's what Paul said. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, church. Don't let your heart become angry toward people. God's told us to yell at the darkness. He's called us to be rooted deep, deep, deep in the soil of His love. Our hearts need to be rooted in His love. And all that comes out of our mouth should be rooted in His love. Listen, learn this, and as a pastor sometimes, I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, I had to learn people are not the enemy. At work, people are not the enemy. In your homes, people are not the enemy. Your families, wherever you are, people are not the enemy. And then Paul goes into this elaborate description of the enemy. In verse 12, the second part of verse 12, he says this: against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Paul says much of this battle that's happening in the spiritual realm. And he uses these words. He uses the words rulers, authorities, powers, and forces. And each of these words in the Greek, they're talking about this complex system of darkness. In other words, these demonic spirits that are in, or they're an organized strategic formation, much like our military. Do you know why our military is so strong? Some of you may believe that, some of you may not. I've been part of it. I've been on the front lines. I know what our military is made of. And we have the strongest military in the world. Do you want to know why? Because they're organized. And the reason we have such a fighting force is because of the idea of this submission to authority. Don't put that up there yet, all right? Hold on. I'm about to make a statement this morning, all right? It's going to rock your world. You ready? I'm about to make a statement that I have made in this church times before and have folks email me and meet me at the door and tell me, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, I'm about to make a statement that's going to wrestle with your heart. And the statement I'm about to make, if you grab the truth of this idea, you will find strength like you've never found before. And here's that statement. Go ahead and put it up there. The statement is, the act of submission is where we find our greatest strength. Why don't you, let's say it together. The act of submission is where we find our greatest strength. Because the demonic forces that we're fighting, they're well organized. They're formed up, and they've got one purpose, and their purpose is to take us all to hell. They're here to what? To kill, to steal, and destroy. One purpose, and one purpose only. They know who they submit to, and they do it in unity. And it's time for us as a church to stop being independent. Somehow or another, this American idea of independence has crept into the church. Now, I'm not talking about submission to the pastor. That's what I'm talking about. Don't hear me now, right? Well, pastor, you're just saying that you want us to do what you say. No, not all the time. Sometimes, right? Sometimes. Not all the time. It's a joke. Come on, laugh. All right. But this idea, right, that I can do what I want when I want to do it. No one's going to tell me what to do. Let it wrestle with your heart for a minute, because I've wrestled with it for years and years and years. And when I was in the military, and I remember going through boot camp, one of the things they did was they break you down of your own self-identity, and they help build you up as part of a team. Because if you try to go out and accomplish any task they put before you by yourself, you will fail. But if you do it together in unity as a team, there's nothing you cannot accomplish. However, within that unit, there's someone in charge. And they've got the ideas, they've got their orders, they give the orders, and you follow the orders. And what's happened in the church is we've got this idea of independence where we're going to do what we want to do, we're going to believe what we want to believe, and we're not going to submit to anybody. That's not what Jesus Christ said. He says we are to submit one to another because Jesus has commanded us to do so. Now, do you understand that idea? Listen, understand that's hard to wrestle with. It's very difficult for some of us to wrestle with because we don't want to be told no. In other words, who in your life can tell you no? Huh? Who can tell you no and you say yes? I'll do that. I won't do it. Huh? Who can tell you no? Have you submitted to some authority in your life that they can tell you no? You're not going to tell me no. I got my own God-given rights. I can do what I want to do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, verse 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. He that sows of the flesh is going to reap corruption. But he that sows of the Spirit is going to reap eternal life in God through Jesus Christ. So go ahead, and there's consequences for every decision we make. But let me tell you, the enemy, he's well organized. So what I'm saying this morning as a pastor of this church, when it comes to submitting to authority, all I'm doing is asking you to do this. You want to be strong in God? You want to find strength to stand against the enemy? Submit the way that I do. There's authority in my life. I want you to know that there's a mother church, there's a pastor at First Assembly that I have submitted myself to. He's the authority in my life. There are men who are sitting out in this congregation right now that I submitted myself to. They are an authority in my life. And if they see something wrong, if they see something that's going, they're going to come to me and they're going to say, Shannon, I got to talk to you. This is what I see. They're going to hold me accountable. You want to find strength? You want strength to fight the enemy? First of all, submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit to God's Word. Submit to those who have been placed in authority over you. And watch God give you the strength to fight the enemy. Now that's something you can go home today and wrestle with a little bit. Because that's a hard one. And it's taken me 40 plus years to figure that out. And it's one of the things that when Maria and I got married, we struggled with in the beginning. Understanding what it meant. And over the years we've learned as a couple to submit one to another. Listen, we'll talk about this on Father's Day. My wife understands what it means to submit to the authority in the home. Now, some of you may sit out there and say, well, that's just you. That's you just being. No. Because if I love my wife the way that Jesus loved the church, she can't help herself to submit to that authority. Because Christ laid his life down for the church. He gave his life, the innocent, when he wasn't wrong. He gave his life. He laid his life down for the church. And as a man, I am willing to do the same thing for my wife and for my family. And when you have that kind of a heart that you're willing to lay your life down, even when you're not wrong, come on, even when you are right, God will do a work in you. I'll ask the worship team to come. We're going to take a moment here and receive communion. But if you want the authority in the kingdom of heaven, the only way you're going to get it is to submit to the Holy Spirit in your life. So let me just summarize real quick. There's five things we talked about today, because God's called us to be submitted people. I'm talking about being submitted so we can find strength in our life. Here's the first one. Stand firm. Listen, wherever you are, whatever you're going through today, stand firm. Then you got to lean forward a little bit, right? Stand firm. Lean forward. Open your spiritual eyes to the schemes of the enemy. Don't be fooled. And then find strength in submission to the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to take a moment. As you think about that, I think the idea that really grabbed my heart that I struggled with the most was the idea of authority. Because as you come to the table today, you're coming, right, to receive communion because Jesus Christ Himself, He told us to do this. And what you're doing is you're being obedient to Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you where Jesus is right now. See, Jesus Christ, He's standing at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father. We looked at that last week. Why the right hand of the Father? Because that's the place of authority. Jesus Christ has the ultimate authority in our life. And listen, He's going to come back one day. Jesus Christ, He came the first time as a lamb being led to the slaughter to die for you. Accused of so many things that were untrue. But yet He went to that cross. He went there forgiving those who sent Him there. But yet now He sits at the right hand of a Father. In other words, here's the person who has the ultimate authority in all things. Jesus, the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who stands there interceding for you and me, who is coming back again. And let me tell you something. When He comes back this time, He's not coming back as a lamb led to the slaughter. He's coming back riding a white horse with a sword of fire in His hand. And all those schemes and all that enemy, all those formations of the demonic forces, they're going to perish and be sent to the pits of hell because of the one who is in authority. But the first thing Jesus Christ did, this example to us, is He laid down His life. When He was right, He laid down His life. He did not stand up and say, not, there was one moment in the garden, we know. He said, Father, if you could, this cup could pass from me. But then the words came out, but not my will, but your will be done. Submitted Himself to the will of the Father, laid down His life, and now He's the ultimate authority. Is that not the example? So if you want to be able to stand against the enemy, if you want to be able to fight against the schemes of the enemy, learn this. Learn to stand firm, stand strong, lean forward. Don't be fooled by the enemy's schemes. Don't blame the people. Blame the influences on the people. And learn to submit to authority in your life, and you'll conquer everything that comes before you.